From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March 8th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Denver, Colorado.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This week, we tackle semantic technology and whether it can distill the cacophony of tweets and Facebook likes into meaningful information, much of which has a geospatial context. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. You can now access ArcGIS on your Microsoft Windows Phone 7 device. Download the free app from the Zune Marketplace. For more information, visit esri.com/windowsphone.
Last week, I posted my opinion on semantic technology to All Points blog and based that opinion from an article I read in Information Management Magazine. The article is entitled, Is 2011 the Year of Semantic Technology? And I just find semantic technology and the semantic web incredibly interesting. I don't understand it all that much, which is always why I'm very enthusiastic about reading articles that explain to me what it's all about. So I'm always trying to tease out how it might impact geospatial technology. I want to start first with perhaps just a basic definition for those of you who don't really understand what semantic technology is, and it helps frame the discussion, I think. So from Wikipedia, they say semantics is the study of meaning. The semantic web enables machines to understand semantics or meaning. And semantic technologies, according to the article I referred to, and I quote, at its most basic level, semantic technology is able to understand the meanings of words expressed in their proper context, no matter the number, the gender, verb tense, or mode, unquote. It also says that at its simplest, semantic technology is a listening technology. And that to me is fascinating to put it in that context. I might even go so far to say as it could be a mapping technology. From the article, again, at its most complex, semantics support critical business decision making. The fact that semantic technology helps break through information boundaries contained between business walls and insight culled from vast web of internet consumers. And really that's what the article is kind of frame, is how all of the tweets and likes and dislikes and everything out there can be aggregated into an opinion. What's going on out there? What are people saying? That's why they call it a listening technology. And to me that's fascinating. But to really put it in the context of geospatial, you have to have context. And to me, part of that context has to be location, because data without context is irrelevant, and location has to become part of the semantic technology engine and maybe the broader ontology of the semantic web. So, you know, if you're going to tell me what, then you had better be able to tell me where. And for the people in companies who are out there listening to their customers, then location is got to be a part of that. So, Adina, I'm going to stop there, and maybe you want to perhaps give your take on semantic technology and how does geospatial technology embed itself into the semantic web?
Well, I guess I'm trying to understand sort of how those two things will interplay, semantic technology and what I'm just going to call location technology for lack of a better term right now. So if you can tease out meaning, does location information enable that teasing out? Does it give you a better understanding of what's going on? Or is it sort of additive? You get an understanding and you add a location and you get more understanding.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question, but that's a good way to frame it. In other words, can you take location and tag it to whatever information is being presented?
Well, and I guess I'm sort of posing this question back to you. Mm-hmm. Is location part of what's going to help determine the meaning, or is it a separate issue where you determine the meaning and the location information is sort of separate and you add that on at the end to give even more meaning?
Yeah, no, I think it's got to be together. I don't think it can be separate.
Okay, so it's another one of those pieces of the equation, if you will, that's going to help determine the meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had, I think, some examples of semantic technologies, or at least the ability to search on natural language and associated technology. The technology associated with Metacarta, to me, brought that to mind. As you're reading a natural language sentence and there's a location context there, then the meaning can be somehow automatically searched and put into some relevance. And I think that that's the only way it's going to help companies that are distilling all this information put it into some context. Now, maybe I'm geocentric.
I'm going to say, yes, you are. And mm-hmm. let's push this a little further and see if we can tease out how that location information is going to help contextualize it, that is, enhance the meaning of the general feeling. Really, when you look at this from a I'm going to sort of strip away all the jargon for a second, and I apologize if I sort of go squashing through this with my giant shoes, but basically what I'm understanding is we've, by default, crowdsourced information about our product, our company, a candidate, whatever it happens to be, on Facebook and Twitter. It's all out there. It's public. And what we're going to do is try to, let me use a GIS word here, conflate it into something meaningful. And I guess I'm thinking, is this really isn't maybe so different from what happens when you collect all this crowdsourced information that has location attached, and you try to make sense of it, you try to get the truth out of it. So let me sort of pose it back to you. So one of the things that happened back in January when President Obama did his State of the Union address was there were efforts to look at all the tweets, look at the sentiments of the tweets, and sort of map that. How does the location help pull the meaning out of "I disagree with his policy on taxes,"
or, right,
you know, something that might be in a tweet?
Right. Okay. So I'll answer that first part, and then I'm going to give you another example. So if the sentiment of Obama's statements in the State of the Union were, let's say, they're poor on taxes, then I want to know where those sentiments are coming from and why. Are they particularly relevant because I want to target that area? Maybe Obama goes to visit that area during a primary. He has a speech in that area directed to exactly those sentiments. That's how I would put location relevance to that. Now, from this article, one of the objectives is to get businesses thinking about culling all of that sentiment. And to me, just a very basic example is if somebody has a poor experience with peanut butter, for example, and they're tweeting that, hey, this is lousy peanut butter, and it's in Peoria, Illinois, then I want to know if there was a bad shipment of peanut butter that was contaminated with whatever to that particular location. And maybe there's a particular stocking number that can be associated during a shipment on a particular day. We sent X amount of cartons to that area. Do you know what I mean? So that's the context I would have to say, is that you're just culling it, but you've got to have location as part of that context.
You do, but what I'm hearing is that the location is coming after. First, you determine the sentiment, which I think semantic technology is required, because as we all know from trying to communicate electronically, despite your best efforts to use the correct words, the person on the other end doesn't always understand. And you're joking and they think you're serious, for example.
Right.
And certainly the same thing can happen when you're tweeting and culling those tweets.
Right.
So that kind of context of what was the nature of the conversation you were having matters. But what you're doing is adding on the location question after the determination of the sentiment. So the location is not part of determining the sentiment. You're trying to look back to the location to try to explain the situation, or to use it for some future activity, like if people in Peoria are not in agreement with President Obama, we got to send him out there and help have him convince them.
Right, but I can't act unless I know where to act. That's my point.
I don't disagree, and I think there's already a lot of that information being collected and used, just not necessarily from the social media environment. National chain stores know that certain products are more popular in the South than the North, right?
Right.
And certain condiments are more popular in the South than the North, and the East and the West. And And there are regional differences, certainly. I know here in Somerville, we stock an awful lot more Brazilian food because we got lots of Brazilians running around. So I think a lot of businesses are already tapped into that sort of thing, that some of that more general information. And I think what you're looking at now is sort of how can we glean even more from this conversation that's happening on the web.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always think we're trying to close this gap between the decisions, as you have just explained, taking the information, basically understanding what the market is, and then supplying the market with content. I'm always thinking of how to compress the time to decision. How do we make sense of this real-time information and make decisions quicker? And maybe that helps. And I realize that at this point in time, maybe there isn't that need. I'm thinking that maybe in the future there will be that need. We do need to compress the time. Maybe it's time to market, not just time to decision, but time to market of the goods and services. And I think that one of the things that the article said was, and I'll just quote here briefly, says, the advent of chief listening officers in the corporate world only reinforces the desire to keep tabs on customer dialogue and sentiment in an effort to protect brand reputation and keep customers happy, unquote. And to me, the element of, I guess, reacting in more real time is going to become more critical, and protecting your brand and people saying things out there from Facebook and reacting to that in more real time than just making it passively out there and not reacting.
Was this the first time you've heard that term, chief listening officer?
Yeah, that's me. This article, yeah, brought it to my attention.
That term and that role actually has been, I've heard it discussed, communications space probably over the last year or so. And one of the things that's interesting about being a chief listening officer, and I'm trying to remember which company this was, but they had sort of set up a war room where the listening officer was sort of keeping abreast of everything that was being said about the brand on Facebook, on Twitter, you know, MySpace, sort of getting the scrolling feeds of what was going on and trying to pull trends out of that and react if necessary. One of the challenges with social media is that while location matters in some situations, location absolutely does not matter in other situations. If you say you had a bad batch of Jif peanut butter, it really doesn't matter where you are. Everybody else is going to freak out,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And that chief listening officer is going to have to react both to a nationwide or potentially worldwide freak out, in addition to potentially nailing down exactly what the situation was in Peoria. And of course, there's also that challenge of, is that just one rogue point that's off the charts, or are we seeing a whole conversation based in and around Peoria that something's up with the peanut butter?
Right.
So we're going to have to sort of redefine what it is that prompts an action, that prompts a reaction, that prompts a local reaction versus a national reaction, and that brings in the big communications guns if there's a situation like the tainted Tylenol back so many years ago.
Right. Well, I can certainly envision companies that big, a Johnson & Johnson, a Coke, a McDonald's, having the war room atmosphere together when they're culling all of this information. And I guess I go back just to take your example one step further, or just to reinforce what my opinion is that once you've identified that tainted batch, your reaction certainly has to be, yes, global, but you want to identify where that batch is, and you want to kill it. Just as they were doing with the Tylenol. They wanted to find out where that batch of the bad Tylenol bottles were headed. And I think it makes it more possible now with this information, because there's a location tag to tweets and a location tag to Facebook places, that it makes it easier for the corporate listening officer to identify where, not just what.
I think that's true, but I think we still have to be very realistic about how valuable, valid, and used those location tags are.
Well, I think we're going to stop it there. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you the ArcGIS app for Windows Phone is available for download free from Microsoft's Zune Marketplace. In addition, developers can create interactive applications by leveraging Esri's ArcGIS API for Windows Phone 7 devices. To learn more or to download, visit www.esri.com/Windows Phone. A few reminders from us here at Directions. Please check out our new news map. Go to our homepage and click on the orange tab that says News Map and view a geographic index of news from around the world. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments box where this podcast is posted. Thanks again for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.